I'm not a huge fan of spicy foods, but I do like a bit of spice in other areas of my life. Reality TV fights, make it spicy. My margaritas, make them very spicy. And when it comes to the spice cabinet you keep beside your bed, you gotta have a wide variety of spices to keep things heated up. If you've been looking for some more flavor to add to your life behind closed doors, Adam and Eve can help you bring the heat with some fun new items to turn up the temp between you and someone else, or if it's a single girl summer, there's plenty of options for those of you riding solo this year. Adam and Eve is offering 50% off just about any item, and they'll include free shipping and rush processing so you can spice things up ASAP. And you don't got to worry about your neighbors noticing your delivery. Adam and Eve ships things out in discreet packaging, so you and Deborah down the street don't have to make awkward eye contact when you get your mail. Just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item and select, just enter offer code Abby at checkout. That's ABBY at adamandeve.com. This exclusive offer is specific to this podcast, so be sure to use code Abby to get your discount. Code Abby.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
The Bird Show.
So Sarah here has been invited to be a bridesmaid, but
Yay!
But she hangs out with really like highfalutin people. The fancy people that are doing everything really expensive, and she just doesn't have the kind of cash, so she's not sure what to do. And I just looked this up. Do you guys have, of course you have an idea because you've been bridesmaids, but what the average amount a bridesmaid spends now?
Okay, let's see. let's take into account the bachelorette party. So they're typically over a weekend now, sometimes even a long weekend. So you have to factor in flight, hotel,
you have to come in food. Low, so my number seems impressive.
Okay.
$7
yep,
gift.
That's close.
And then we also have the bridal shower.
Mm-hmm.
So
you got to get a gift.
You have to get a gift for that. Also get a wedding gift.
And then get the dress.
The bridesmaid's dress, shoes, low. Hair.
Nails.
Makeup, nails.
What are you thinking, $200?
For the makeup, sure.
I'm going to say $1,500.
$1,500.
Ooh, I'm going to go $2,500.
$2,500.
I'm going $1,000.
$1,000. Abby is the only one that went with the bit. $1,200.
I picked $2,500 because I thought it was low.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
$1,200 is the average now to be a bridesmaid, which is expensive.
It's a lot.
A lot of money, right?
We were close.
So,
except for Cassie.
So if you're with the fancy folk, I mean, you could double or triple that right now, and that's where Sarah is, and she just doesn't have that kind of income. Hey, Sarah.
Hey there.
Sorry, you're poor.
Oh, yikes.
Me too.
I say that with love, my dear. I say that with love.
Poor is relative. She could be hanging out with billionaires.
Right.
True.
So
true.
You want us to text the other bridesmaids, or you want us to text the bride, or what exactly do you want us to do?
The maid of honor. The maid of honor has so much money. She has no concept what she's asking from me. I mean, the other girls are fine, too. But I am I'm right at the end of my budget here, and so I need to text the maid of honor and tell her that she needs to pull things back because I can't afford it. Like, they're making plans that are ridiculously fabulous, but like I can't keep doing this. I might have to like apply for some. I don't know what I'm gonna do because they're just going crazy, man. It's just too much.
Before you tell us like everything that they're asking you to pay for and what it is, I'm curious with the maid of honor. Did she, not that one is better than the other, I'm just curious. Did she work for her money, or did she marry into her money, or is it family money that's been passed down?
Why is that, man?
Because
it matters.
Because if you worked for it, you're not as frivolous with it, and you're a little more cautious with spending. Whereas if you married into it, or if it's family money, I think you tend to spend more freely. Mm. Personally,
yes. Not only does she come from a very wealthy family, she married a very wealthy man.
Okay,
and so and she actually divorced him. So she really has so much money. She once said to us, she has so much money, she doesn't know what to do with it. So,
okay. All right. I feel like that's a little eye-opening of what we're dealing with here.
Okay. My question for you guys is, we're texting the maid of honor to tell her to ask her nicely to scale it back, but I got into some, not trouble, but like I got into a situation where I was around a lot of rich people way back in the day and I was not. And I started spending like I was and I had to pay off that credit card debt and that was fun. So my point is my lesson learned is now saying no and it's the bride's day. So for me, if I were in your situation, it wouldn't be asking the maid of honor to scale it back. I would just say, I'm at the end of my budget. Which events do you need me at the most? Because I can't make all of them.
I think exactly. They'll be way more receptive to that. You agree with that?
I completely agree. Because if, let's say there's 12 bridesmaids and all 11 of the bridesmaids are fine with spending $2,500 to go to Ibiza, then you're the one and you're the one person that can't go, then you're kind of bringing down the whole crowd. Mm-hmm. And it's not their fault that you can't mm-hmm. afford it. I mean, if they come for money, lucky them. But you would be bringing down the whole crowd.
So before we even start texting her here in a couple of minutes, let's get some context to the relationship that you have with the maid of honor. Are you guys tight? Do you barely know each other? Is it adversarial? What are we walking into?
Well, we don't know each other that well. Like, she is much closer to Michelle than I am. You know, they went to school together and everything, and so she's closer to the bride than I am. But she is lovely. Like, she's always been so nice and wonderful, and she's like, I've known her for 4 years, but not like my whole lifetime. But she's like, you know, she. I don't think she'd, I mean, she's, it's the bride that we both have in common, not each other. It's like, we're not hanging around each other because, you know, we're so close. It's like, she's lovely, but I don't think she gets, you know, my money. I never told her. Yeah. I don't want to tell her, but
okay.
So it's really weird.
I don't know all of my friends' financials, nor should you. It's not really something that comes up in conversation, especially somebody that you're not close with. So
I think it should, like, as soon as you meet somebody, you should just show them a pay stub.
I need to see what's in your checking and savings account.
Let's see if we're compatible financially.
So, Sarah, well, I wish, you know, it could be a little more inclusive financially for you, and you feel left out and you want to be able to attend those events. I totally get that. You're validated in your feelings. But I co-sign on what Abby said, like, this is what they're planning. You can't really tell them to dial it back for the bride when you can't afford it. It sucks, and I get it, and I'm sorry. So I am 100% on board with Cassie's idea that we don't tell her to dial it back. Just be like, hey, my budget is my budget, and mm-hmm. I'm not going to be able to attend. I just wanted to give you a heads up.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that will plant the seed for her to be like, mm-hmm. Okay, maybe this is extravagant and we should dial it back so more people could be included. I don't think that's going to happen. But.
Well, let's see. All right, so Sarah, give us a couple of minutes here. When we come back, we will start texting the maid of honor and just be honest with her and say, hey, I'm just not making as much as you guys are. How can we sort of meet in the middle somewhere, okay? So we'll do texting tutor coming up next on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
We are about to start texting for Sarah here, who has the honor of being a bridesmaid, but it's a bridesmaid in a very fancy wedding.
The maid of honor is just lighting money on fire.
Yeah, and Sarah doesn't have that kind of cash. So she wants our help texting the maid of honor to say, hey, I'm not in the same financial situation you guys are in. How can we make this work for everybody?
Sarah, you're Kristen Wiig.
Yes, I am. Totally from the Bridesmaid movie. Absolutely, I'm Kristen Wiig.
Yes, and like the maid of honor is taking the bride to Paris for her dress fitting. And
this didn't work out real well for her for a while.
It didn't, but she came back.
Yeah.
Yeah. It ended beautifully.
I think you'll be the bridesmaid that poops in the middle of the street.
That's the only part of the movie I remember.
The bride took a dump in the middle of the street, okay. Not a bridesmaid. Right,
that's the only part I sort of remember.
It was Melissa Carthy in the bathroom and it was coming out of her like hot lava. Okay.
One thing I want to make sure is we don't go in with like any shame, any apologies. Like, it is what it is, and you should never have to apologize for your financial standing. At all.
Let's start with, help me, I'm poor.
Maybe like something like, hey girl, wanted to talk to you about some of the bridal events coming up. I mean, I would put it all out there. I have a limited budget, so I want to know which ones would be best for me to attend versus not.
I like it.
Is there no way to include any kind of humor here at all? Like, hey, fun fact, I'm a broke ass bee. Or anything like that? No?
I kind of like that.
Yeah, kind of lighten it up a little bit.
Hi, my name is blank. I'm in the wedding party. Fun fact, I'm a broke ass bee.
What if she sent that gif of Kristen Wiig saying, help me, I'm poor? That's very funny. On the nose.
Uh-huh.
So, hey, Jody, needed to discuss some of the bridal activities. I mean, I like the idea of humor, but I also like Cassie's just kind of keeping it straight so we can, because we're trying to gauge temperature here, right?
Yeah.
For me, I would go in straight, but then bring the humor in later if it gets weird.
If it gets awkward.
Can I say I'm on a budget?
Yeah, I'm working on a limited budget. Unfortunately, I can't participate in everything. What should I definitely attend? Question mark. Thanks, exclamation.
Sarah, I'm sure you do very well for yourself.
Yes.
But I understand it's very expensive.
I'm interested to see how the bridesmaid's going to respond, because that'll tell you a lot about a person.
I think she's going to say, well, I think you should attend all of the events.
Mm-hmm. Not an option, B.
Don't you care about Michelle? You don't want to be there for all of them?
I'm pressing send.
Okay. I'm nervous for you.
Do bridesmaids have to also give a present?
Yes.
Yes.
What the heck?
That to me is so messed up, because my presence is your present.
Right. Your service. That should be the present.
And you pay for the bride, too.
Yeah.
It says, as a general rule, you should expect to spend $75 to $150 per bridesmaid. Per bridesmaid.
Wait, what?
Are you supposed to give everybody in the party?
Oh, yeah. The bride gives all the bridesmaids gifts.
Yeah.
Oh. But the bridesmaids aren't buying stuff for each other.
No,
okay.
No,
just for the bride.
Oh, what'd she say?
Asked me, what is your budget?
What a weird question.
Mm-hmm.
Invasive.
Well, she might be thinking about the budget. So, like, I'm planning my cousin's bachelorette party right now, and we're kind of like, well, what's everyone's kind of max budget for extra activities? Because it's kind of expected that all the bridesmaids will go, we're paying for the house, but, like, what other, can you pay for the boat? Can you pay for this restaurant? That kind of thing. So she might just be looking for specifics so maybe she can help plan around you.
Right.
That I understand.
Yeah.
Should we give her a denomination then? And do you have a denomination that you have set aside for this wedding and all the activities?
Yeah, I set aside $1,500, but it's not.
We're going over $1,500?
That's a lot of money.
They're going crazy. Like, I can't believe Jody hasn't just sort of said she's going to pay for everybody.
Oh, shouldn't be embarrassed at all.
Is this a business negotiation where she should come in at
$1,200?
No.
Okay, well then, let's do that. So, let's go ahead and tell her I've set aside $1,500 total for the entire wedding and all the activities. Yep. She asked a simple, straightforward question, and we are sending. I'm big on trying to match energy, so we're just going to send her a straightforward answer.
Boom.
So this is according to thelist.com. An average bridesmaid's dress costs $208.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's about right. And then you have to get it altered too, which is the unexpected. And then you got to get the matching shoes, because heaven forbid your shoes don't match.
So it says alterations, which could cost around $70.
That's about right, yeah.
To look fantastic in all your wedding photos, you might end up spending about $132 on average on hair and makeup.
No, maybe just for makeup.
Okay, so I got married when I was older, so I was more established and had more money in the bank. I told my bridesmaids, the color is blush, pick your own dresses, whatever makes you happy. They bought off the rack. There were no alterations. I told them, nude shoes. Don't care. Like, just nude shoes. And then as a gift to them, I covered hair and makeup everybody.
Mm, you really are very cool.
I tried.
You're a cool chick.
And then I got them the most adorable. If you want to know the link on Etsy, I will gladly share for you, because it's a sweet woman in the Ukraine. Hand embroidered handkerchiefs.
Aww.
That said, no ugly crying allowed.
Basically, don't be ugly on my wedding day.
She might have moved.
Yeah, I know.
Bridesmaid can typically spend over $800 on organizing pre-wedding events, traveling, accommodations, and gifts.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I got to fly for the bridal shower in January. Got to fly to the bachelorette in October. It's a whole thing.
LendingTree survey found that 56% of bridal party members felt pressured to spend big, and 50% used their credit cards and went into debt for the wedding.
I
wouldn't go into debt either. But if you're getting married young, I could totally see how that happens.
Guys, I got a text back.
Okay.
It is an emoji of, like, she's so surprised how low my budget is. And she says, did you talk to Michelle about your situation when she asked to be a bridesmaid?
Oh, God.
Yikes.
Okay. All right.
Your situation.
That's so condescending.
This is how I will respond.
Okay.
I don't think how much money you have should determine your friendship or if you're a bridesmaid.
Boom.
I love it. Uh-oh. I love it.
That's good. She's going to take that as an attack, though.
She should, because what she said was nasty.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Things are going to escalate quickly.
Jody shot the fires, or the shot the shots first.
Shots the fire.
Boom. I don't know what just happened, but it sounds dangerous.
And do you want to add at the end, do you think you shouldn't be allowed to be a bridesmaid if you don't have a lot of money?
Mm-hmm.
That's beautiful.
Yep. I like the combination.
Uh-oh. I approve.
I'm here for it.
Go for it if that's what you want.
No, I mean, it's sharp. Like, that's a cutting text.
Yep.
And somebody's going to bleed.
Good.
Jody's going to bleed.
She started it.
Okay, I'm pressing send.
Who had the most expensive wedding ever? And how much did it cost?
Oh, millions. Millions. Mm. I'm going to say $10
million. $10 million.
That was Kim Kardashian's wedding budget. And I feel like somebody out there has to have outdone Kim K at one point.
The one that I'm looking at is 10 times that. And you know the couple.
$100 million?
Over $100 million.
Are they still together,
what?
Though?
They are not.
Uh-huh.
Bezos?
No.
Zuckerberg. No, they wouldn't do that.
I feel like Zuckerberg is very practical now.
Yeah.
Is it like a pop culture celeb couple?
Oh, I'd say so.
Is it a soccer player?
It is not.
Oh, man. Mm. Tom Brady?
Nope.
Mm.
They're not together anymore because she's not around anymore.
Oh,
she died?
She did.
Well, that's the only way I'm getting a divorce after $100 million.
She died?
Uh-huh.
I don't know.
And we know these people?
You sure do.
I can't think of...
I mean, they never gave you a ride to the airport, but you know of them.
Do not tell us.
He died.
Can we get a hint, though?
100 million.
I just gave you a hint.
I want another hint,
though. That's a pretty big hint, Abby.
Okay, here's another hint.
There's a lot of dead rich women, okay?
That's fair.
Here's another hint. She's still dead.
That's not a hint. That's just a fact. Did she die because she's old?
No.
I got a text back.
Hold on one second,
I was
Sarah.
I having fun.
Hold on one second.
Give us a second.
Yeah, this is not about you anymore.
Okay, no. Let's
take it easy.
All right, we're going to table the wedding for just a second. The celebrity wedding.
Good. This gives me time to Google it.
Don't. Nothing's on the line here. Why are you cheating?
Sarah, what'd she say?
Well, I think it is assumed that you will have a financial obligation.
Wait, say that again?
What?
Well, I think it is assumed that you would have a financial obligation.
I think that's when you say, I knew that, which is why I budgeted $1,500.
Yep, I would say exactly that. Bingo. I knew that, which is why I have $1,500 allotted for the wedding, which to me is a substantial amount of money.
That is more than reasonable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do you also want to say, and to me, that's a substantial amount of money?
Oh, yeah. We should add that. Mm-hmm.
For me, that's a substantial
amount. For me, that's a substantial amount of money.
Okay.
So.
All right. Most expensive wedding ever. We're over $100 million. She is no longer with us. You guys are going to kick yourselves when I tell you. It's so obvious.
Cher? No, she's alive.
Can I guess?
Cher is alive.
No, Tommy, you can't play.
No, you can't play, Tommy.
Is it old school?
Mm. Oh, is it the royal wedding? The Princess Diana and
yes, cool.
It is. $110 million for that wedding.
Wow,
and that was back in the 80s.
Yep, 81. All right.
Jeez, with inflation, do you know how much that wedding would cost now?
A lot more.
$111 million.
We need to teach you about inflation.
I was being facetious, so was I.
I got a text back.
She got a text.
Okay, I will let the others know that there's one less person to split the costs with. I'm sorry you can't participate.
Wow.
Did she just kick you out of the wedding?
No.
She basically did.
No, she didn't. One less person to split the costs with. Does that mean?
You're not included in anything.
So we don't need your money at all.
I think we should spell it out. Like, are you saying that I'm not in the wedding?
Okay, no.
And then show this to the bride.
No, that's what we're doing right now. All right, we are doing something we've never done before. And Sarah, I hope you're okay with it. So just respond back to her, got it, with a thumbs up.
Okay.
Oh, I see what you're doing.
Are we
going to
screenshot?
No. We're going to screenshot, and we're going to send that screenshot to the bride and be like, heads up, I'm not going to be able to attend any events, and this is why. I'm so sorry.
Hold on. Before we do that, go ahead.
I think we should be a little bit, because she's close to Michelle, the bride.
Yeah.
I think we should screenshot it and just be like, I think Jody just kicked me out of your wedding, LOL.
Okay.
That's what I would do.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's better.
Do I just not do the got it and thumbs up? Just leave it?
No, do the got it and a thumbs up emoji,
and then screenshot the whole combo.
Drama.
My stomach hurts. I sent the screenshot to the bride. I sent a text. Hey, Michelle, heads up. I won't be attending the event. I think I've just been kicked out, but know that I love you.
Ooh. And it begins.
Dun, dun, dun.
I have regret.
I don't.
You can still unsend it.
I guess she could.
Oh, I got a text back from Michelle. Well, let's slow down a minute. Let me talk to her. I'm sorry.
There you go.
That's exactly what we needed.
Yep. There we go. Okay. I just feel like she's going to be walking into a hornet's nest during this bridesmaid, this whole thing now. Because now bride calls the rich bee, and now there's just going to be all sorts of tension. Then they're all going to be talking. I don't like this.
If Jody's going to get upset about something as reasonable as this, something tells me when the bachelorette comes around, she's going to have beef with everybody. Something will come up. She sounds like that kind of lady.
I agree.
Well, hopefully the bride has your back, and then we can check back with you next week and find out how it was all handled, okay?
Okay, thanks, you guys.
That all right, awesome. Sarah, good luck, okay? At least you know what you're Thank getting you. Into here, right?
Exactly. Thanks again, you guys.
All right, we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I think we made it work.
We certainly did.
This is what we do.
Yeah.
The Bird Show.
They have a brand new baby. And of course, when you have a new baby, you could use some help around the house. You could use some help because they're very small, but they're a lot of work. they drain your energy. And she wants her mom to help out. She trusts her mom, but the problem is her husband doesn't trust her mother. Okay. He does not trust his own mother-in-law to watch the baby.
Uh-oh.
And they're starting to butt heads and have some problems. Hey, Beth, welcome to the Bert Show. So why doesn't your husband trust your mom?
Hi. Hey. Yeah. I don't know. I really can't say. He hasn't really ever said specifically your mom can't, but he just has his mom do it all the time. And, you know, we haven't had the discussion yet. You know, his mom's there full time watching the baby. And my mom is the one who approaches me and asks me what's wrong. And I don't really have an answer for her. She's offended. And, you know, she's great with kids. She's a great mom. She watches my niece and my nephew all the time. So, you know, I don't really have a reason. I don't have one for her. And, you know, his mother, my mother-in-law, she watches our kid all week. So we have a situation now where my husband's going out of town. And I have an opportunity to go ahead and let my mom watch our kid, our son. I would have to go about it maybe not telling him and just letting her go ahead and watch our kid while he's out of town.
So I want to make sure, like, has he specifically said your mother cannot watch our child, or have, when you've tried to do that, he has said no?
No, he's just never really given a reason. You know, he's always like, my mom's available. My mom's going to do it, you know, without really, you know, just like she's there and she has it, you know? So there was never reason to need anybody else. And that's kind of how it's been set up.
But you haven't pressed.
My mom's like, I really haven't, but okay. My mom's been pressing.
Okay.
You need to, because that doesn't feel like something you can just say without having some type of example or reasoning. Does this have to do with maybe the history of their relationship? What's that like?
I mean, they seem to get on just fine. They don't seem to have any real problems, you know, not that I know of. So I don't really know. I just don't really want to start an issue. But my mom, I don't want my mom to get, you know, she's perfectly capable. So I'm at a little bit of an impasse because he's going to be out of town. And I don't know if I should just go ahead and go behind his back and let my mom and maybe show him, look, she did it, you know, while you were out of town and everything was fine. I'm kind of a little bit conflicted.
See, I don't feel like you're going behind his back, though, because he's never said explicitly, your mom can't watch our kid. He's just always had excuses to have his mom watch the baby. So if you trust her and he has never said this woman is not allowed to watch our child, then I don't feel like you're going behind his back.
I do. Beth, like, if my husband did this, if you can tell there's some issue that your husband has, even if it's unspoken, and that's on him, you shouldn't have to play detective.
No.
If my husband did this to me and left our new child or newborn with somebody I didn't fully trust, the rage and the relationship issues it would cause, I mean, we would be talking near the precipice of divorce, because I would have felt like you endangered my child. Even if even if you didn't, right? Like, even if it's somebody that that person trusts, if I don't trust them with a newborn, but here's what I would do if I were you, because you have a right to let your mom watch the kid if you trust her. So if he's out of town and you want to go do something, I would text him and be like, hey, I'm going to go do blah, blah, blah. My mom's going to watch our son. And just let him know. So you don't have to bring up, like, why don't you want my mom to watch? Just act like it didn't happen, right? Like, act like there's nothing wrong. You've got a babysitter lined up. And that way he knows, and then he can bring up any problems he has.
Yeah. That does sound less scary.
Yeah. Well, and, like, I want to politely disagree with Cassie, because I don't feel like you should have to decipher his feelings. He should tell you. If he doesn't want your mom to watch the baby, he should have said it. And you are a capable mother. You have good instincts. You trust your mom. So I don't mind the text at all, because I do feel like, especially when you have a new baby, like, that communication is very key. But, like, if you hit him up and you say that and he says no, how does she proceed?
Well, that's when I would dig my heels in and be like, it's fine. For me, it's like, you're totally right. You shouldn't have to decipher, but sometimes people have to learn that they need to communicate, which sucks that it's your job to educate them. But I think also as a partner, it's your job to pick up when your partner is not feeling great about something and sort of to tease that out of them. I think you could go either way. Honestly, it's whatever your dynamic and your relationship works with best. But if he says no, that's when I would dig in and be like, my mom is fully capable. She is great with children. What is your issue with her watching him?
Yeah.
And let him say something, and then y'all can battle it out there. But I think that way, at least it's all out on the table and you are taking the high road, so to speak.
But don't ask. Like,
right.
You send the text, hey, I'm going out to do XYZ. Mom's gonna watch the baby. And then, because you're not asking, you know, can mom watch the baby while I go do this? Because the fact that he readily has his mom come watch the kid all the time. And has he ever run that by you?
No, she's just made herself super available, which is why there's never been room for any questions. You know, oh, she's coming. Oh, great. Okay. Oh, it's taken care of. Oh, she's going to be here.
And I don't blame your mom for feeling a certain way. Like, she deserves to have quality time with her grandbaby.
Absolutely.
Just like both sides. And I don't want this to turn into a battle royale with a baby in the middle.
Beth, it sounds like also that it might just be a case of his mom's there and available, and it's really nothing against your mom whatsoever. It's just a comfortable routine that you sunk into. But I think the takeaway from this is communication. Like, talk to your husband.
That's great advice. That's great advice.
Congratulations.
I think it's going to be a good time.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, girl, go have some fun. Let your mama watch that baby. It's all good.
Thanks.
All right.
I'm not a huge fan of spicy foods, but I do like a bit of spice in other areas of my life. Reality TV fights make it spicy. My margaritas make them very spicy. And when it comes to the spice cabinet you keep beside your bed, you gotta have a wide variety of spices to keep things heated up. If you've been looking for some more flavor to add to your life behind closed doors, Adam and Eve can help you bring the heat with some fun new items to turn up the temp between you and someone else, or if it's a single girl summer. There's plenty of options for those of you riding solo this year. Adam and Eve is offering 50% off just about any item, and they'll include free shipping and rush processing so you can spice things up ASAP. And you don't got to worry about your neighbors noticing your delivery. Adam and Eve ships things out in discreet packaging, so you and Deborah down the street don't have to make awkward eye contact when you get your mail. Just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item and select, just enter offer code Abby at checkout. That's ABBY at adamandeve.com. This exclusive offer is specific to this podcast, so be sure to use code Abby to get your discount. Code Abby.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters. And what do I even say other than hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all new Bumble with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
The Bird Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Bird Show's entertainment buzz.
Rachel Levis, a.k.a. Raquel from Vanderpump Rules, is speaking out about the scandal.
Dun, dun, dun.
So she's doing a 3-part interview with Bethany Frankel on her podcast.
I wonder why she chose Bethany, by the way.
Well, I think Bethany reached out to her because she's doing like this whole reality reckoning thing where mm-hmm. she kind of wants them to be, reality stars to be on strike, like how actors are on strike, where they want better pay for literally exploiting their lives. And so what better person to kick it off with than Raquel / Rachel, who just made Bravo millions of dollars with the whole scandal ball. I mean, just to put this into perspective, the first reunion episode for this season is the most watched Bravo episode of any series in more than 9 years.
Wow.
And it is the most watched Vanderpump Rules episode of all time. And so she's made the network a ton of money.
Gotcha.
And Raquel, Rachel now.
Okay, well, is it Rachel? I thought it was Raquel.
So she changed it. And honestly, because I watched.
Back to Rachel? Because it was Rachel, Raquel, Rachel?
Now it's Rachel. And honestly, that was the most interesting part of this whole, like, you know, 2-hour interview that I had to watch, where she basically explained why she changed her name back to Rachel. So that's her birth name. That's what she was born with. And she decided, like, in elementary school to change it to Raquel because there were too many Rachels in her class. So she's like, well, I want to be different. And then she became Raquel Levis. Now there's so much bad PR with the name Raquel Levis that I kind of think she's backtracking and, you know, embracing her roots.
Got it.
So honestly, that's like in the first 10 minutes of part one. You can just watch that and that's the end. That's like the most interesting thing. But she is kind of explaining, you know, the reasons why she decided to have this affair with Tom Sandoval. Tom was dating Ariana Maddox and they were together for like 10 years. These are two cast members on the show. And it was this huge deal because apparently Ariana and Raquel / Rachel were really good friends. But on this interview, Rachel's like, yeah, we actually really weren't that good of friends at all. It was kind of like acquaintances and, you know, we were just like friends because we were close by, like friends by proximity. And so that's A, one of the reasons why she justifies it. But B, she also said that Tom used the term business partners to describe Tom and Ariana's relationship. He's like, yeah, we're really more of a brand at this point. Which I find very confusing because then she goes on to say that in this, she went to like a facility in Phoenix to like do a deep dive on her mental health. She said that she learned something about herself is that A, she's like addicted to love and, you know, really intense emotions and she confuses that for intimacy. But she also said that she had to do this deep dive to discover why she's attracted to unavailable men.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, what is it? Was he, you know, basically just in a business relationship with Ariana, or was he in a genuine relationship with Ariana and you were attracted to him because he was unavailable? So there was a little bit of confusion there. But the other main bombshell that she drops in this interview is that she is not planning to return for season 11, which I think is a major mistake because your salary for the upcoming season, like season 11, that's determined by the ratings for season 10. So if you're going to complain about not getting money now, girl, get your bag.
Facts.
I mean, could there potentially be a redemption arc in, like, if she signed on for another season, or could she just be get doo-dooed on even more than she already is? Because, I mean, she became public enemy number one, if not as much as Tom.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, if you don't do the reality show, you don't even have that option.
Mm-hmm.
And she has so much leverage that I really think it's a mistake to not do season 11 because she could come on. She's got all the cards. She could ask for a ton of money. I know that Tom got according to Rachel in this interview, he got a producing credit for season 11. So he's going to get money from that. I think she really should have walked into that negotiation room, guns a-blazing, and saying, you know what? I gave y'all this season.
Mm-hmm.
The show... She said in this interview that their executive producer went on the record and said that the next season was going to get canceled if it wasn't for season 10. So she's got all this leverage. I don't know why she didn't use it. It's crazy to me.
Well, maybe after doing her deep dive and going to the mental health facility, she just doesn't think it's going to be good for her mental well-being. And maybe she's just not strong enough to do it.
Yeah, that's a healthy response. But girl, get your money.
Sometimes mental health is more important than money.
Yeah, she said she was in debt. I'm like, you know what? Sometimes you got to do what you got to do. But speaking of money, maybe she should have gone to a Drake show because Drake just gifted one of his fans in the audience a Birkin bag.
What?
Yeah, I know, right? I'm like, why did I spend all my money to go to the Eras tour? I could have been front row at Drake and leave him with a bag.
Yep. He gave a rando fan a Birkin bag. And for those that don't know, Birkin bags by Hermes, these bags run like $10,000 to $20,000, if not more.
Well,
on the resale market, they can go for $30,000. But I think the bag that he gifted her could have been somewhere between $40,000 and $400,000.
What?
But I have this theory that it's actually SZA that he gave it to, because SZA showed up to one of his shows in like full incognito like dress up mode. She had like a mustache on.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't know Drake and SZA used to date.
They did.
And Drake has gone on the record and has said that he collects Birkins because he wants to be able to one day gift his one true love all these Birkins. So I have this theory that maybe SZA and Drake are going to date. Maybe she was secretly in the audience and he gave her the Birkin bag. I don't know. That's just like my fan fiction.
It's possible.
Run off.
Man dates everybody. So it's very possible.
For more stories, head to thebirdshow.com. Click eBuzz.
The Bird Show.
She saw it. She didn't like it. And she was like, this should be banned. Toddlers should never be allowed to wear this. Cassie, what is this?
I need to know. Am I being a prude? Okay, so I was shopping for my daughter, who's 3.5, and I was checking out some new clothing websites. And I found one that is all about play and activity and clothes for that, which is great. Like, kids should play and exercise through play. 1,000% for it. So I'm clicking through, looking at all these cute little outfits, which, like, they have skateboarding stuff, they've got hats, they've got, like, leggings, all cute stuff. And then I saw this, a sports bra. And it's cute, like, they had leopard print, they have flowers, and the sizing starts at 2 years old. And I looked at that and had a gut visceral reaction of, never will my child wear a sports bra. And then I stopped and I'm like, am I being too prudish and too weird? I mean, this is specifically a website for athletic clothing for kids to play in. But at the same time, this bra, it shows the kid is wearing, I think the kid's probably like 6 in this picture, wearing leggings that go above the belly button. So it's just a thin strip of skin that's showing, probably like the width of my hand, maybe. And I just feel like that is inappropriate for a 2-year-old to wear, the same way I would feel weird about a 2-year-old wearing a bikini to go to the pool. I don't think that is appropriate, but am I just really antiquated and prudish and kind of stuck in the past?
I think to each their own. Looking at the photo and what it looks like to me when I look at that, that seems like the perfect outfit for a gymnastic class. Like to go to like a little gym or something like that and to tumble in, because you don't want baggy clothes to tumble in because you could get caught and you could hurt yourself. So, and they have like leotards and things like that for dance class. So when I look at that, I just see somebody who is into gymnastics.
And for me, I'm like, there are full body suits and leotards that you could wear. And yeah, maybe it is each their own. I think where I'm coming from is protecting kids and seeing when people post like their children on TikTok, all of the saves and how high those numbers are, mm-hmm, and that it's a lot of creepy guys saving it. So, but then I'm afraid I'm teaching the message that it's your job to dress to protect yourself so bad people won't take advantage of you. But just my visceral reaction was like, a 2-year-old doesn't need a sports bra. Like a 2-year-old doesn't need to wear that in order to have fun. But I always like to check myself, and whenever I have visceral reactions, and be like, where is this coming from? What is fueling this? And is it accurate? Or is there something from my past or how I've been taught that is coloring my opinion that maybe is incorrect?
I think because it's being called a sports bra, if it was like a spandex tank, like if they were saying it's a spandex tank with biker shorts, I mean, technically, yes, it is a sports bra. And you and I are on the same page, and we said this before, like a woman shouldn't have to alter her appearance or what she's wearing. Men should alter their gaze and how they treat women. And instead of teaching girls they need to cover up, we should teach boys they need to respect women. It's like those schools that don't allow girls to wear leggings or don't allow girls to wear spaghetti straps. Like it's not our job, I feel, to police how men react to women. It should be that should be on them. I think your concerns are valid as far as like there are a lot of creepers out there, and the motherly instinct and urge to protect, I totally get that. I have a son. I don't have a daughter, so I don't know if that changes how I look at things, but that wouldn't bother me. And if my daughter was in gymnastics, would totally be something I would buy.
Maybe the gymnastics part is what changes it. For some reason, for me, it's the age. The 2 to 3 year old, like, they can't make any of those decisions for themselves. They don't understand. So I feel like it's my job to make sure.
Yeah.
And so I'm conflicted by it. And if the top was a little bit longer, and I'm hearing myself say the words, and I'm like, I feel like such a hypocritical prude. And it feels like it goes against everything I stand for in terms of, like, be yourself, dress how you want.
Body positivity, blah, blah, blah.
But when kids come into stuff, sometimes, like, the rules go out the window and it doesn't apply. And I don't know why it's not sitting right with me, and how I feel about it is also not sitting right with me. And I can't figure out why.
I can't figure out why for you. But, like, if my goddaughter showed up to the house to play in that, I wouldn't think twice about it. But So I don't know what that says about me. I don't know what that says about you.
Well, maybe it's location. Like, showing up to your house, well, that's a safe space. So yes. I wouldn't think twice. But, like, just wearing this out on public, Abby, I don't know if you can see it or not, wearing it out in public, like, on a run or a grocery run, which is where I would normally wear athletic gear. So maybe I'm applying adult stuff to kids. Like, I would wear something like that. Well, not me. Maybe if I was, like, 50 pounds lighter. But, like, to the store to go grocery shopping. Mm-hmm. And that's what's weirding me out. I don't know. It's just sometimes I feel like we're forcing kids to grow up too fast instead of letting them be kids.
Yeah, I hear you. So, yeah,
I wouldn't think anything of it either.
You wouldn't?
No, okay. But maybe if I were a father of a daughter, maybe, like, fatherly instincts would kick in, knowing that men are creepy, and I would have that thought, but I wouldn't think anything of it.
Okay. Yeah, I think it comes down to context. I mean, I think creeps are going to be creeps, but I think, you know, if a child wore that to a dance class, I don't think anybody would think anything of it. Maybe your job as a parent is to just keep them in the right context to avoid them from being exposed to creeps.
Well, even if I saw it at the grocery store, I wouldn't think twice about it. I would just think either you went to a gymnastic class and you're running your errands and going to a grocery store, or that's your kid's favorite outfit, they put it on to play, and you know what it's like trying to get kids into clothes, and we're not changing whatever you're in. I've taken Jimmy in his pajamas out to places before because it's just whatever's easiest.
PJs wouldn't look twice. A 2-year-old in this, I would definitely do a double take. But my takeaway is creeper's going to creep, and I am a prude.
No.
The Bird Show.
So, Mo, you had the flight from hell.
Oh, my God. I'm going to give y'all a math equation. Imagine spending 7 hours on a 2-hour flight because of 3 minutes. That was my experience.
Because of
Y equals MX plus B.
Exactly. That's what happened to me. And I should have known, like, I had a feeling that this flight was going to be different because it was a last minute flight. And I was going to try to surprise my mom for her birthday. And because we were forced to take a couple days off due to technical difficulties, it worked out. And last minute, I was able to make this happen, which I was excited about. But the flight just was already weird because there was already delays. And then I saw something I'd never seen before. I felt so bad for this lady that was in front of me because she had a carry-on bag, but I guess it had a battery built in. It was like an older bag, and they made her throw it away.
What?
They made her throw her entire bag away in order to get on the flight.
What did she put her stuff in?
So luckily for her, there was someone near that had trash bags, and she literally was forced to take her stuff and transfer it to the trash bags because you can't bring any kind of battery on to a flight.
Apparently it's a fire hazard.
It's a fire hazard.
Because we have those bags that have the built-in batteries that pop up when you, like, the away bags, but you can remove those. But if you can't remove it, then you're screwed.
That was the issue, is I think normally you can remove them, but I guess she had an older version of this particular bag and you can't remove them. So if you ever find yourself in that situation, just know, like, yeah, don't bring the bag that you can't take the battery out because they'll force you to throw it away.
And you'll be going through the airport with trash bags.
Exactly. Exactly. So I'm like, so that took a long time for them to figure it out and the whole process. Mm-hmm. So it kind of delayed the boarding and what have you, which that ended up, those few minutes that took ended up being really major in the end because I board the flight and I'm very tired. So I'm like, it's one of those situations where I just can't wait to get to my seat so I can just go to sleep. And finally I sit down and I fall asleep immediately. I was out. And my favorite flight is when you fall asleep and you wake up because the snacks are there and then you fall back asleep, then flight is over. Perfect flight goes that way for me. So I fall asleep and I had to be asleep for at least, I'd say, 45 minutes, maybe even an hour. And I wake up and I'm looking for the snacks. There are no snacks. Then I'm like, wait, where are even the flight attendants? There are no flight attendants. Something feels weird, but I can't really put my finger on it. And what ended up feeling weird was we were still on the ground.
Oh, no.
So I opened the window and I'm like, wait, why are we? I know we're not in the runway. Like, we, I thought we would be halfway to where I was going by this point, which we should have been. And it turns out that there was weather, which I hate when they say that because there's always weather, but whatever. There was some form of weather.
But they don't want to freak you out by saying bad weather.
Is that why they do that?
I'm thinking it's more of like a calming, like just to say there's weather instead of saying there's massive thunderstorms, there's bad weather. Because I think people, a lot of people are already on edge to fly. Mm-hmm. So they just do that so it doesn't freak people out.
Okay.
That would be my guess.
That makes sense. So,
but you're right.
There's always weather. Right? Good, bad, indifferent. It's all weather.
I'm looking at weather right now. It is beautiful. They're like, there's just one too many clouds in the sky.
So the captain comes on and he says, due to weather, we are not going to be able to take off. We have no idea how long the delay will be. Mm. Bear with us. We're going to try to get you there safely as soon as we can. I'm thinking, okay. Another hour goes by. He comes back and he gives the same announcement. Another hour goes by.
Oh, no. So now you're like sitting there for 3 hours.
Four and a half hours.
Still no snacks?
Still no snacks.
They didn't pass out snacks?
So apparently...
We are offended.
I know.
Give me the snacks.
Where are my sun chips?
Apparently, this is why like everything that can go wrong. Because at about, I think, 3 hours, I guess there's a law that you have to let people off the flight if they want to get off the flight. Mm. But they said if you get off the flight, you can't get back on the flight. So you're done if you leave. And they were supposed to bring snacks for the people, but by the time the snacks got there, they had to close the doors because they were finally ready to leave. So we didn't get extra snacks. And when we did finally take off, which was 4.5 hours later, we were in the air and had to circle in the air because it wasn't safe to land. And then right as they were actually about to start passing the snacks that we did have out, I guess it was the turbulence was too much.
Oh, yeah.
So we literally, I was on a 7.5 hour flight that was supposed to be 2 hours and didn't get as much as a peanut or some water.
That's a big deal, and that's worth a voucher. Or something.
Oh, yeah.
A flight credit.
Yeah, I called as soon as it was over, and apparently so was everybody else who was on that flight because the wait was too long. But no, I'm going to definitely call them and let them know what my experience was.
Yeah, I mean, it's one thing. Like, you can't control weather if the wait's too long, whatever. But you have to have, like, 7.5 hours is a very long time. And there should have been some kind of accommodations as far as, like, a water.
Whiskey.
No, I want something. Some pizza at that point. Yeah.
It's the Bird Show.
Thanks for listening. Get more Bird Show fix at thebirdshow.com or follow us on social.
You can see email and stay emailed.